What's going on? What's going on? It's your boy Jay Will, your host of the Jay Will Podcast. Listen to this podcast for informational purposes only and should not be used as legal, health, or tax advice of any kind. Go ahead and log into your cell phone, go to the Play Store, and download the Live 365 app and type in Jay Will Gospel Radio, and you can listen to live gospel music 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, homies and homies, boys and girls, dogs and cats. I got on the virtual studio with me right now, none other than the event producer extraordinaire, my man, Alex Thomas. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing to this evening?
Man, I'm good, man. Glad to have you on, bro. Spend time with the old cat. You know what I'm saying? You know, get the gray beard. I look like the black Santa Claus of Cincinnati.
Man. I love it. If I could let mine grow out like that, man, we'd look like twins. But I can't. This thing, it stays a little short for me.
I feel you, bro. So, I understand. So, let me start off with, where are you from?
I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi. I now reside in League City, Texas, right outside of Houston. So, I've been in the Texas area for 5 years. I moved right before the pandemic, but I'm a born and raised Mississippi boy.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Bulldogs, let's go.
Yes, sir.
Let's go, man. Let's go, Bulldogs. But now you're over there in Houston. You're Astro, you know, Houston Rockets and Astros.
That's correct.
Hey, man, that's your man. I came to Houston a few times, and one of the things that I love about Houston is the Gulf shrimp they got out there, man.
Seafood. Great seafood. In fact, I'm looking forward to enjoying some this weekend.
Man, I tell you, bro. Well, I appreciate you hanging out. So I got you on because in the month of June, you're hosting a plethora, if you will, of events evolved around Juneteenth. Tell me about those.
Well, we have everything from parades to storytelling to festivals, reenactments. But most important, the one event that I produce is called the Emancipation Gospel Celebration, which is the fourth annual gospel concert where we brought in Grammy Award winning, Dove Award winner, Stella Award winning talent from all across the country. And this year, our event will take place on Sunday, June 8th at 4 p.m. in Galveston at the Grand 1894 Opera House. And we're so excited to have on the stage with us this year, the queen of gospel herself, Pastor Shirley Caesar.
Come on, man.
Yes, sir. And along with her, we have the Remarkable Walls Group, family right out of Houston, Texas. We also have the Houston Mass Choir, as well as one of Galveston's very own natives, Tanya Nolan, that will grace the stage with her new single called Blessings.
Yeah. So,
this event is very exciting. It's hosted by the Neo Cultural Center. I happen to work with the Neo Cultural Center, and they do a lot of great things. NIA stands for purpose in Swahili. And so the purpose of this organization is empowering and enriching the African-American community. It's an art gallery that's housed right in Galveston that is only a few feet away from where the union headquarters were when General Order Number 3 was read to the citizens of Galveston to let the enslaved know that they were now free. So it's a lot of rich history in Galveston. I'm so glad to be a part of it. But most importantly, glad that we're able to have these events to really mold and shape the community and embrace the culture and heritage of Juneteenth.
Man, I tell you, you said a mouthful there, but I was still stuck on greens, potatoes, mash. I'm stuck on Shirley's.
Hey, man, that's actually one of our commercials that's out right now. I was raised on listening to Shirley Caesar. She's actually one of my mom's favorite gospel artists, and she's 86 years old.
What?
She's a legend in the gospel community. She's known as the First Lady of Gospel. She has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She's been inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. But not only that, man, she is I think 15-time Grammy winner, just out here doing it at 86 years young, a pastor at our church back in Durham, North Carolina. And we're just blessed to have her be a part of this great occasion.
Man, I tell you, you got some great stuff going on down there. I didn't know that what Nia meant in Swahili. You taught me something, man.
Yeah, man, it's a great organization. It was started 30 years ago by the executive director, Sue Johnson. And the Nia Culture Center offers so many different programs and opportunities for the community. It's an art gallery. It is the only Black art gallery in Galveston. It's housed right down on the Strand, which is the downtown area of Galveston, very historic area. But not only that, it has a lot of great events where people can come in. One of the events that we'll be hosting during the month of June is on June 21st. The family of George Floyd will be there to talk about, you know, the history of what happened with George Floyd and where we are 5 years later. All a part of our Juneteenth programming. The other events that we do, we're a part of the Art Walk. That's a lot of the art galleries in the downtown area. People can come down on a Saturday and walk through the downtown area and visit all the different galleries and learn about the Art Walk, or the art, the artists that are there, but also have an opportunity to engage with the curators, the staff at the Nia Culture Center, and just be supportive of all the efforts that we do.
Man, so let me ask you a question, man. How long have you been event producing?
I have been producing events, brother, probably, if you ask some of my peers and my relatives, probably since I was in middle school. I started hosting parties and events when I was in middle school, and that turned into doing shows in college. I started working with the likes of, you know, our blues artists coming from Mississippi, a lot of Southern soul, a lot of blues artists. And then I started doing other events probably in the early 2000s, where I started working with some national renowned R&B artists. And so I started this event 4 years ago with the help of the Nia Culture Center. And we've had everyone from Fred Hammond, Smokey Norfolk, LaCardi Cortez, Marvin Sapp, and now Shirley Caesar in the Walls Group. So, man, it's been a blessing, but it's a passion, but I also call it a labor of love. A lot of people don't know the work, the blood, sweat, and tears that goes on to putting on a great event, and a successful event, to be honest with you. But it's a labor of love, especially when you get to do something that brings a smile and joy to people around the globe.
Facts. You know, I think that just like pastors are called the pastor, I think people have been called by God to do certain things. You know what I'm saying? And it seems to me that, I mean, it's obvious that you've been called to do this since you've been doing it so long. And it looks like you still enjoy doing it because you got a smile on your face talking about it.
I love it. I love it, man. It was funny. I think about probably 7 or 8 years ago, I was producing an event, and my cousin, who we were raised like brothers, he happened to be backstage working with me at the event. And this was an event I had with Fantasia and Ludacris. And he looked at me, he's like, man, you know, how does it feel to be doing something that you've always wanted to do? And at that particular moment, I kind of, you know, stopped in my footsteps, and I said, you know, what do you mean? He said, man, when you were a kid, we used to have these boom boxes, and I would sit down in the middle of the floor, have my boom box. And, you know, back then we had cassettes. So I put in a cassette and I would play music, and I had all my little action figures. And, you know, I would have like a deck of cards or something to kind of create an audience. But I was mimicking at that time an actual concert. So wow. The action figures were the artists that whoever I was playing on the boom box at that time. The cars were my audience. And in my mind, I was visualizing how that concert would look. And so, to be honest with you, I didn't even think about it. And I didn't even realize that's what, as you say, God was preparing me for this at an early age. And so here we are. I'm 51 years old now, and I've been able to do some amazing things with some amazing people and be in the company of some amazing artists. And so it is definitely something that I feel like I was called to do and blessed to do. And I don't take it for granted.
51. Come on, bro.
Yes, sir. Blessed.
Man, black don't crack, do it.
Yes, sir, man.
Man, that's pretty helpful. So do me a favor, and if the people want to get in contact with you in order to have you plan an event or be a part of one of your events, how can they do that?
They can reach out to me, my social media on Instagram. It's Mr. Tyree Thomas. My Facebook is under Alex Thomas. They can also reach me at alex.thomas@neocultural.org. That's alex.thomas@neocultural.org. Or they can just, you know, I'm all over the place as far as YouTube. If they go out and Google my name, they'll see. But those are the best ways to reach me. Right here in Houston, Texas, or right outside of Houston, Texas, and always eager to work and bring something very, very memorable to the lives of people.
Yeah, I could imagine during the course of you working in this field, every concert, every venue has not been pleasant. How do you persevere through the unpleasantries?
Well, I mean, you have a lot of different things that may happen, especially I've worked in indoor facilities, but I've also done a lot of outdoor events. And one of the things that you have to always keep in mind is weather. And so I've been in situations where it's been 100 degree weather. I've also been in situations where it was threatening the storm. And so we've been fortunate to still have a decent event or a successful event. I can only remember one time that was very, very interesting. I was doing an event in Jackson, Mississippi, and I had the Isley Brothers. And for years, Jackson had, you know, suffered some different issues when it came to our water system in the community. And so we had a pipe, a pressure situation that happened with our pipes in the hotel that had all the artists staying in. Immediately lost water pressure. So they had no water at the hotels. And in the middle of sound check, I had to move, you know, the Isley Brothers, the entire band, some other different groups to a different hotel. And I have to be honest with you, Jackson is not a huge city when it comes to having five-star hotels. We have a lot of good hotels, but we don't have a lot of five-star hotels when you have artists looking for suites and things like that. So it was a challenge, but the team worked very hard, worked very diligently to make it happen. And I continued to work through sound check, did not miss a beat, because one of the things that you have to do in any situation when you're doing an event is not Alex Thomas. I'm the event producer, but you got to have a good team working aside you, behind you, around you in order to make things happen. And at that particular time, we had a lot of great people who stepped in, stepped up, and made it happen. So even with the inclement weather and things like that, man, you just got to have an action plan. The key word is plan. That plan has to always be in place, you know, in any situation, because you never know what could happen. And we've seen some things happen with different events around the globe in recent years, whether you know, it comes out sometimes in a tragic situation or sometimes, you know, in a just unfortunate situation. So you definitely have to plan. I don't take it for granted that God has blessed me to have some successful events, but I also try to make sure and keep in mind that things could go south at any given point, and you got to be prepared for that, and you got to have the right people around you to help you succeed.
Yes, sir. Man, I'd have loved to have been a fly on the wall with Mr. Big.
Man, that was probably one of the, I've had an opportunity to work with a lot of people. But, you know, we're talking legendary status, man, legendary. And to still be able to do what he's doing, he and his brother Ernie, they were very, I mean, just professional guys. And that's the same way I feel about this coming up event, man. I have seen Pastor Shirley Caesar on numerous occasions, and she never ceased to amaze me. And to be able to do what she's doing at 86 years old, man, it's like you said, it's a God-given talent, and it's a labor of love. And I've seen her do it time and time again. I happened to attend Angie Stone's memorial services when she passed away. And Pastor seen the service that took place in Atlanta the day before. They had a memorial service in Atlanta that was presented by Tyler Perry, and so many different artists were there, and it was televised. And so my pastor being in North Carolina, when they had the actual funeral services for her in Columbia, South Carolina, she wasn't even on program, but she took it upon herself to make her way down to Columbia to be a part of the ceremony. And she stepped up on stage, man, and almost gave the eulogy. You know, wow. That's the thing about her, is that she's anointed and she has the opportunity to walk in a room and change the perspective in a heartbeat. And so we don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. I just know we're going to be ready for a treat, because that's the type of person that God has blessed us to have on this event for our fourth annual Emancipation Gospel Celebration.
Man, so, you know, I guess you can't really call her a goat, the goat, you know what I'm saying? Because a goat is probably a male. What do you call a female goat? Goatee?
No, that's a good question, man. I've never thought about that. But I will say that she's the first lady. You know,
yeah.
we talk about the president, and we talk about the first lady. She's the first lady of gospel. She's Thanks. The queen. So you may have some kings out there, and you may have some presidents, but she's definitely the queen of gospel, and she's the first lady of gospel. So, and I will put her in that status when we refer to people as the goat. She's definitely the goatest of the gospel, you know? So hey, take that from her, brother.
Yes, sir. So, man, first of all, I appreciate what you're doing. I think it's an awesome job. And it's good to see that you're focused on getting things done right and making sure it's done right first time. You know, I was trained as a Six Sigma Green Belt, and to do something over or rework is a non-value added process. And you look like one of these guys that want to make sure everything is done correctly the first time so you don't have any rework.
Exactly, man. It's. You know, I've been accused of being, what is this word they use as OCD sometimes? And I don't even look at it like that. I think it's just a matter of wanting to be a perfectionist, wanting things to be perfect. I'm a music lover. I love going to see live music. I love going to see a good play, a good performance, or a good sporting event. And I see myself when I'm there, I'm always in work mode because I'm looking at all the details. And so when your mindset is always to make sure that everything is done right, and you want to make sure that that customer is satisfied, then you put all of your blood, sweat, and tears into making sure everything is done, you know, correctly. And don't get me wrong, there's always going to be something, and it may not be a big thing. It could be a very minute thing, but, you know, we don't live in a perfect world, and we have to have those challenges. And one of the things that I'm good at understanding is that God put those lessons out there for you to get better each time. So I can't sit here and tell you that I've everything that I've done with my events have always gone perfect. But what I can say is that any of those particular things that may have happened, I make sure I put the mental note on that, and I try to make sure when I go into the next event, I always keep that in mind so I can, you know, cross that hurdle the same way I did a previous hurdle. And so those are the things that you have to keep in mind. You can't let it beat you down. You can't, you know, give up. You got to keep pressing forward and take those as opportunities to learn from and get better.
Yeah. You know, I've often looked at, I'm ex-military. And if you did not complete a phase successfully, you had to go to another company that was in the same phase that you failed, and we called them holdovers. And so it's like that in life, and even working events or doing, you know, specialties as yourself. If you don't learn from your mistake, you're destined to repeat history. You know what I'm saying? So it's good.
It's good that you said that, and I'm going to take it to another direction. I did an interview earlier today, and one of the questions that was asked of me is, why do I feel like it's important to celebrate Juneteenth? And you just said that if you don't learn from something, that you it'll repeat itself. If we don't learn from the history of what took place prior to June 19th, 1865, we will eventually repeat ourselves. And so one of the things that I always reiterate to people is the reason why we celebrate this is not to pull out the grills. It's not to, you know, eat all the good food and, you know, listen to the music, but it is to appreciate the fact that we have the absolute equality to be able to do these things. Right. You're blessed to have your own podcast. I'm blessed to produce an event. And you think about it, if we was living in the times of 1865, prior to June 19th, there were some people right here in Texas that were not blessed to be able to make those decisions or have the opportunities to do anything that they wanted to do. They were living in enslaved situations. And so the reason why we celebrate Juneteenth is because that's when the last people in the U.S. found out that they were free. And we take that and we educate the youth, we educate the people around us. And now it is not just a Galveston known event. It's not a state of Texas known event. It is a nationally known celebrated holiday that people can appreciate. And that work was done, started by Representative State Representative Al Edwards back in 1979. He fought to get Juneteenth established as a state holiday. And it was in January of 1980 where the Texas state legislature passed it into law as a state holiday. And then fast forward 40 years later in June of 2021, it was then signed into law by President Joe Biden. And so we have to celebrate this holiday because now we have to continue to press the needle forward to let people know that everyone should have absolute equality. Everyone should be able to have the freedoms that most people were blessed with or fortunate to have before all of this took place for us. And so it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It is now an American thing to where we should be able to celebrate and everybody should have the same opportunity. And so that's why Juneteenth is so important.
So I am a crotchety old man, and I will say I agree with you, but I think that only responsible people deserve freedom.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I don't, because irresponsible people are not only a danger to themselves, but they're a danger to others. So yeah. I don't even get down with irresponsible people.
I understand. I can respect that.
Yeah, yeah. But now I want to travel back a little farther than that, because it took a minute for the effects of the Emancipation Proclamation to even be residually effective, if you will. I don't know, because I want people to really be educated on this. And so in 1863, is considered to be Freedom's Eve. All right. And the first watch night services took place. People that were enslaved, you know, African Americans, they were waiting for that night because that was supposed to be a new beginning for everybody who was enslaved to be emancipated from slavery.
Right.
But there was two things that I found in looking at this, and forgive me if I'm rambling, because I think that what you're doing is so important, but we need to know what happened and why the significance of it is so important. So you have Abraham Lincoln in 1863 signed the Emancipation Proclamation. At the same time, Abraham Lincoln was the president of the United States. He was not the president of the Confederate States. The United States was divided into two parts. You had the Union and the Confederates. The Confederates had their own president, Jefferson Davis. And so going into Abraham Lincoln's second term, he was assassinated. Jefferson Davis was still alive. So that's why the people in the slaves in the South were not privy to the benefits of the Emancipation Proclamation, like the African Americans or the Native Americans that were here in the North. Because we had, I found this out probably a couple of weeks ago, because they don't teach this stuff in school, man.
Correct.
We had two presidents in the United States at the same time, Abraham Lincoln and Jefferson Davis. Jefferson Davis said, no, we ain't having no emancipation down here in the South. So they kept that verbiage and that information away from Southern slaves. But even after that, there was so much trauma and so many things that went on, that after all the states came together to be the 49 states, because Hawaii came on later, instead of having slaves, because the Emancipation Proclamation was taking effect or had taken effect, the Southern states, which were the Confederate states, started passing Jim Crow laws.
Correct.
And so when people say, oh, I don't see the significance in Juneteenth, you better recognize, because if we don't understand the political verbiage and dialogue that's going on right now, history will repeat itself.
Of course.
And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're spot on. And that's why it's so important, because you hit two key things. A lot of this information has not been taught in our school system. I didn't learn a lot of these things growing up. I grew up in Mississippi, in the heart of the South, a part of the Jim Crow laws. That was before my time. My parents endured that. But the civil rights movement, all of those things that we had to go through in order to be where we are now. And we see a lot of things that are transforming and being brought up in today's society. And like you said, if we're not careful and if we're not educated enough and if we're not celebrating or making sure that we preserve the culture and the history of what took place and why it's so important to understand and appreciate Juneteenth, history will repeat itself. And so you're definitely spot on with all of that. And that's why, you know, I'm happy about being a part of what I do with the Neocultural Center. The organization is in the trenches, making sure that the people in the community understand and appreciate the history and the heritage. And there are other organizations out there like NEA that are doing those same things. One of our honorees this year that we will be honoring at the Emancipation Gospel Celebration is an organization that has done that same work in the Houston community called SHAPE. And so there's organizations in Mississippi where I was born and raised. And I think that's where we have to definitely take a step back. We support a lot of things, but we have to go back and support these grassroots organizations that are out there trying to make a difference in these communities and trying to hold it all together. And a lot of times these are nonprofit organizations with very little money to operate. And when I look at the big picture of artists that we work with and artists that a lot of people idolize that are making millions and millions of dollars, a lot of these folks don't even realize that if it had not been for these organizations and people that came before them back before 1865, they wouldn't have these opportunities. And so that's why it's important to make sure that we talk about this, make sure that it's celebrated, and make sure that they don't forget that they're standing on the shoulders and that they have the opportunities because of people who were out there that fought for them to be able to have all of these millions and millions of dollars to do what they do.
You know, it saddens me, though, sometimes, because there was a time in African-American history, because we were so deprived of our educational benefits and educational rights. I mean, that was even after the 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment came into fruition. And ladies and gentlemen, the 14th Amendment gave everybody on American soil equal protection under the law, just in case you didn't know it. That was for free. But it saddens me that a lot of our younger generation are not going to be the recipients of this knowledge, because the only book that they read has got the word T-O-P written on the box. They got tops and zigzags, and they get blunted up with their pants hanging down, and they can care less about this, but I think it's very sad, and you guys are doing a fantastic job. So my question is, how do you convey this message to somebody that don't care about this message?
Well, I think you got to continue to put your best foot forward. One of the things that I look at is, how do you reach, you know, that generation? We have the Walls Group on this ticket. You have an 86-year-old legend, and then you have a young gospel group that are in their 20s, early 30s, and they are reaching another audience. The audience that is coming out to see Shirley Caesar, my mom, people like myself, then you have a young group that will hopefully bring in that youthful audience. And then having, you know, Tanya Nolan, the Houston Mass Choir, we're trying to reach people from all ages and all walks of life. Same thing with the organization, Neo Coach Center. The programs that we do are not just geared towards adults. We have a program called Freedom School. That program also works with the youth. And during the summer months when school is out, these students are there learning about the culture, learning about the history, and being able to navigate through all of these things that they're faced with on a day-to-day basis through their peers. And like you said, how do they say no to those people that are out there looking, you know, to depend on those drugs and being bullied and things like that? So it's having these organizations that instill these values, these core values into them. And so that's how we're reaching them. You can't get them all at the same time, but I think, you know, it says each one teach one. And the way you do that is by continuing to put your best foot forward and keep working. It's not an easy task when you have so many things that are out here that are very tangible. Just think about it. If we had a podcast back in 1865, we wouldn't have to worry about Gordon Granger, you know, letting the people know that they were free. That information would have been out there. But right now, man, our children, our youth, they have everything right at their fingertips with the social media platforms. They have their you know, devices, and they are able to see a lot of things that when we were coming up, it was nothing. You wouldn't even talk about it in your household. And now it's right there in front of them. And right. The way that we have to do that is we have to continue to channel our messages the same way. The same way that they're trying to pollute the minds of young people with all of the negative thoughts, we have to continue to put our best foot forward to put these positive thoughts out there. And I'm glad that people like you are giving me the opportunity to be on your platform, because you could have had any other person on this platform to talk about something else, but to give me an opportunity to talk about this and send a positive message about a positive event for a positive occasion speaks volume. And that's what we have to do. That's the way that you tackle those type of things.
Yes, sir. Well, I can tell you right now, I talk to anybody if they'll sit there long enough to listen. That's what old people do, man. We got lots of stories. We can talk about, we talk all day long.
Correct.
Correct. But the one thing that the one reason I went through all of that brief history, I mean, it's a lot more dense than I went through. But to help kind of bring some enlightenment to help your cause a little bit more, because somebody's going to hear this that's not African-American. Somebody's going to hear this that's not young, not old. You know, somebody's going to hear it. And that this piece of the history of the United States is not being taught to the masses. Like, we're so busy worrying about the wrong thing to the stuff that really matters, that's going to keep us out of going back to the Stone Ages. We kind of overlooking this stuff. And I think what you're doing is very important. I love the fact that y'all have this summer program teaching the young kids about the historical contents of African-Americans. And not only African-Americans. Dude, it was so crazy because it was white slaves at the same time it was African-American slaves.
All right, now.
But what they did, here's one of the little old people isms here, okay? So what they did was, in order for, there was a couple of uprisings where the white people and the black slaves, white slaves, black slaves, band together to try to overthrow what was going on in the South. So what they decided to do, they decided to take the white slaves and have them work off their slave mint and give them pieces of land. And the slaves that they were enslaved with now became slaves to the slaves that were slaves right along beside them.
Wow.
Yeah, it's some crazy stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
so I'm glad you're teaching. I'm glad your program is so successful, man. And I pray Godspeed on you. And, you know, I'm always just an email away.
Gotcha.
I'm always a phone call away.
Well, I listen, and I believe in building relationships. I think that's the other thing. When you talked about, you know, some of the things that God instills in you, and one of the things that I've been blessed to do in my professional career is when working on a project or when working on a task is build relationships. And, you know, coming from Mississippi, there were times when I went into communities that were, you know, divided communities, you know, even in the early 2000s or late 1990s, you know, you still had communities that were somewhat divided. They had both white and African Americans in public offices, but it was still divided when you looked at the city government, where the city council members, you know, they couldn't get anything done because people were not willing to sit down at the same table with each other. And I've been fortunate. A lot of the projects that I worked on a city level and a state level, and I could go in the room and just help people understand that it's for the common good, and that in order for us to move forward, we gotta put some of that aside. And we were able to accomplish a lot of great things. And so I've even said it in some of the meetings that I've been in Texas, that if, you know, if I was able to do those type of things in the great state of Mississippi, I feel like I can do it anywhere. And so it's all about being able to sit down and come to a great understanding. We may not always agree. You and I may have a different perspective about everything that we've talked about on this podcast. But one of the things that we have to understand is that if we're both about the betterment of our people, then we should be able to sit down and say, you know, hey, Jay, well, I disagree with you, but I do believe that we should be able to do X, Y, Z. And a lot of people don't want to put that pride aside and make that happen. And so God has blessed me to be able to go in to a lot of situations and help people see that it doesn't have to be a divisiveness there, that we don't always have to agree. But if that common goal is something that both sides want, let's figure out how to get it done.
Exactly. I don't believe that there's any such thing as bad information.
Correct.
There's information that, you know, may not be useful to you at the time, but sometimes things come back around full circle. And I'm an organist, okay? And so I was researching older organists, and I ran across this lady named Rhoda Scott, a phenomenal female jazz organist. And some of the licks and stuff and runs that she was playing on the organ in the late 50s and 60s, I hear cats now doing the same lick that she was doing in the late 50s and early 60s. And they thought they created something. But it's just coming around full circle. So I obtain and I listen to all information, whether I like it or dislike it. I may dislike it at the moment, but it may prove to be a benefactor in a situation that I'm going through later on down the line. And so we want everybody as possible to understand what Juneteenth is about, understand what the executive event producer, Mr. Thomas, is doing. And if you have any questions concerning what he's doing, shoot him an email. I'm sure he'd love to talk to you, explain stuff. I'm sure he needs volunteers in Texas to help with this. And send your kids to volunteer.
Correct. Correct.
You know?
Invite people to come down, A, because, as you said, we want people to learn. Galveston is the birthplace of Juneteenth. There's so much rich history in Galveston, Texas. I've learned a lot since I've been here. And one of the things that I think a lot of people, not in people in the state of Texas, don't even, you know this history. Sometimes I'll talk to people and I'll share information when it's like, I did not know that. The first African-American high school in the state of Texas was Central High School. It was housed initially in the Colored Library, or is now in the Colored Library. The first building was a different building, but they moved it, but it's called Central High School. It was the first African-American high school in the state of Texas. Four of your first African-American denominations started in Galveston. Wow. The first Baptist Church, Avenue L, originated in Galveston, Texas, still operating to this day. The first AME Church, Reedy Chapel, right there in Galveston, still operating to this day, still a ventral part of Juneteenth, has the Emancipation March reenactment events every year, and has worship services every Sunday. They're still doing a lot of great things. That church was there. That was one of the churches where the General Order Number 3 notices were placed on the church doors to make sure that people knew to come out to understand and listen to what Gordon Granger was going to tell the people to let the enslaved know they were free. The first Catholic church in the state of Texas is Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Galveston, Texas, still operating. And the first Episcopal Church is St. Augustine, still operating in Galveston. All these churches established in the 1800s. The most important thing about these churches is all the hurricanes that have come through the Gulf Coast, the state of Texas, even hitting our great state of Mississippi, these churches are still here, still operating, and were the first four of their denominations in the state of Texas. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that the very first heavyweight boxing champion of the world came from Galveston by the name of Jack Johnson. He was the Galveston Giant. There's been movies about him. He was an amazing man, and he left Galveston and made a huge name for himself. One of the first women to fight for women's rights in Galveston was Jesse McGuire Dent, who was also one of the founding members of Delta Sigma Theta sorority. All of these great things happen in Galveston, which is also the birthplace of Juneteenth. Now, here's the nugget for everybody. Galveston is now one of the fourth largest cruise terminals in the U.S. You have everything from Carnival Cruise, Disney Cruise, Princess Cruise, Royal Caribbean, leaving out of Galveston. People take cruise every day. That same port is the same port that our people were brought here as in, slaves. And that part is where we need to understand the history. That same port, they were brought here on ships. They were taken to auction blocks. They were auctioned off as slaves. And that's the same area. All that area still exists in Galveston. Now, yeah, hurricanes have come and gone, but the structure, the soul, everything is still there. And that shows why it's so important to celebrate Juneteenth, because we've overcome a lot of those obstacles that our people faced back then. And not just African-Americans. Like you said, it was a lot of people, because Galveston was one of those melting pot communities. So you had a lot of ethnicities that came through that port. And so now you have a lot of people that leave out of that port to go experience all these other ethnicities of being able to go to the Caribbean and other places. So it's a full circle, but a lot of people don't know the history. So it's so important to understand why you're jumping on a cruise ship. Think about that. Imagine if you was the opposite way around, that you were being brought in on another ship that wasn't a cruise ship. And so that's why it's important, and that is why we should celebrate this history, teach one, so that they can understand how we have the opportunities that we have today. Man. If it had been for those folk that put their blood, sweat, and tears on the line for us to have these opportunities, we wouldn't be able to go on these cruise ships. We wouldn't be able to sit here and have this podcast. We wouldn't be able to go into a lot of these establishments that we go into nowadays that my parents faced during the Jim Crow days, that, you know, you had to have a white a water fountain, a black water fountain, or a black restroom and a white restroom. And not to even take it even a step further, the concert that we're having is at the Grand 1894 Opera House. I have heard the stories of people that I've worked with, the B.B. Kings of the world, the Bobby Rushes of the world, where they would perform in front of a white audience. And sometimes they would have to perform in situations where the curtains were closed. They would listen to the music, but they didn't want to see their faces because they were black faces. Or if you were allowed to go to the concert, you didn't sit in the lower level. They had a balcony way up top that was only permitted for the colored people to sit in. So we have to think about all of those things that we are now blessed and have the opportunity to do. That's why we celebrate the holiday. We celebrate the holiday because it's about absolute equality. It's the emancipation of everything that we once weren't able to afford and be privy to. Now we can look back and say, this is why we celebrate. This is why I appreciate. And this is why we should continue to move that needle forward.
Man, this is good, man. I could talk to you all night.
Hey, bro, we can do it.
Well, it's Friday. And the wife is upstairs. You know what I'm saying? It's right. But no, man, I really appreciate your expertise. I appreciate your educational position on what all this means. Because a lot of times people do stuff, and instead of having an educational position on things, they have an educational disposition concerning what they're involved in. And it's very obvious that you've done your research, you've done your homework, and you know exactly what you're in. You know exactly what you're doing, and you know the exact reason why you're doing it. And I think that's why you're successful. You want to understand how to fix a car? You got to read the manual.
And not only that, man, you got to center yourself around people that you can learn from. Man. I've always been a sponge. I haven't read every book, and I don't proclaim to know everything about Galveston Juneteenth. But what I have done is been fortunate enough to be blessed to meet some great people. One of the reasons why I ended up in Galveston, a good friend of mine, who now goes by the name of Professor Juneteenth. His name is Sam Collins. Sam and I worked for the state of Mississippi, and I was on the board, and he was on the board, and he represented the state of Texas. I represented Mississippi, and so we got a connection. I've learned a lot from Sam. I've learned a lot from the executive director of NEA Culture Center, Sue Johnson. When I first came to Galveston, I was asked to create a strategic plan to promote African-American tourism on the island. And I sat in a room with a lot of the great historians there, people like Sharon Gillens and Alice Gatson, you know, all of these people that have worked and done research in the community to talk about the old entrepreneurs that have been there. You had a lot of restaurants that after 1865, you had entrepreneurs that came into the area, and they started their own businesses. They had a whole area. People go to the beach now in Galveston, and they can go up and down the seawall in any part of the beach they're privy to go to. There was a period of time where you only could go to the colored portion of the beach. And during that mile stretch of area, that's where your African-American businesses were. And so you had people like Gus Allen and other entrepreneurs that came along, and they had those businesses on the island. And so you had people like Miss Tommy Boudreau in the community. That's a historian. And her and Alice Gatson have written books about these lost restaurants in Galveston. And a lot of these businesses, there again, when you had all the different hurricanes that came through, they didn't survive. And when they picked up the pieces, some of them moved more inward. They moved to places like Houston. And that's why you have places like Freedmanstown now, because people left the island to get a little bit more farther inland. And then that's when places like Houston became more prosperous. So it's a lot of rich history out there, man. You just got to go and sit at the table with the people that got that food, that you can get a little slice of that pie and learn from it and eat it. And so I've been blessed, man, to be in that company. So I pay homage to all of the people that have been able to share information with me. And I try to do the same thing. I try to take that same information and share it with people that I can as well.
Well, man, I appreciate you for real. I've enjoyed our time together tonight. And we got to do this again.
Let's do it.
We got to do it again. So, you know, whatever you get.
We can do it whenever you want to do it. We can talk about a lot of things, bro.
Hey, just let me know, bro. I'm good. You know, like I said, you know, I love to talk. Especially a good conversation. Well, I love to talk with intelligent people. I don't fool around with people who, I mean, everybody deserves a chance, but if I want to learn about golf, I'm not talking to LeBron James, especially not Charles Barkley.
I was about to say, yeah, you want to talk to somebody that knows how to get it down the course, man. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I had the opportunity to work on a project back in Mississippi, Mississippi Blues Trail, and I learned a lot from being around a lot of great blues musicians, and a lot of them before they passed away. And one of those blues musicians was B.B. King. And so there was never a time that I had an opportunity when I sat down with him that he wasn't sharing knowledge. And one of the great legends that is still living today, I was so excited. A movie came on the other day and I heard the voice and I immediately knew it was him. It's Bobby Rush. I grew up, he lives about 10 minutes away from where my parents live. He's still a pillar in the community, but he's a Grammy Award winning blues artist. And every time that I'm with him, around him, he's always giving me nuggets of information. And so I take all of that and I keep it. And that's what helps me understand how fortunate I am and how I have the position to be in, to be able to do what I do, to be able to love to do what I do, first and foremost, but also to be able to help other people do it as well. Because not only do, you know, I talk to people like yourself, but when I'm in a position to produce an event, I always try to bring in an artist or people that are trying to get their name out there, trying to build, you know, a good following and give them an opportunity. And that has opened up the doors for a lot of people. And I think that's why God continues to bless me, because people are doing the same thing for me. And it's like you reach back and you pull another person up. If it had not been for the B.B. Kings, the Bobby Rushes, and even in this situation that we're getting ready to do, the Shirley Caesars, if they had not given me an opportunity to work with them, then it wouldn't give me an opportunity to work with some of the young artists that I've been able to work with. So we just got to continue to remember to do that, man, and always reach back, grab the next person, and bring them along.
Man, that's rich, man. You talk like a 50-year-old.
51.
That's some rich stuff, man. So do me a favor.
Yes, sir.
Tell the people your email address one more time.
They can reach me at alex.thomas@neocultural.org. They can learn all about the Neocultural Center at www.neocultural.org. If they want to come and join us this weekend at the Emancipation Gospel Celebration, they can get tickets at the www.thegrand.com. That's www.thegrand.com. That's the Grand 1894 Opera House. Tickets are under the Emancipation Gospel Celebration with Shirley Caesar. They can go out and follow us on Neocultural Center on Instagram, Facebook. They can also follow me on Instagram at Mr. Tyree Thomas, or on Facebook at Alex Thomas. You know, we would love to hear from you. We would love your support to continue to help us on our mission of empowering and uplifting the African-American community.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. You've heard from the professor of event production, Alex Thomas. Listen, if you'd like to support the podcast, you may do so via the scrolling literature down at the bottom, Cash App, $JWillPodcast, or via the donate feature on the RSS.com homepage, which is the home for the J. Will podcast interviews and commentary. Listen, don't forget to go to your Play Store on your phone. It's a free app. It's free, people. It's free. I know you like free stuff. Go ahead and download the Live 365 app and tune into J. Will Gospel Radio. Some phenomenal gospel artists from all over the world. I have people submitting their music from London, Bangladesh, Canada, people from all over the world, all of the 50 states. We got it all. We got gospel rap. We got gospel urban. We got choirs. So tune in. If you're an artist and you want your music potentially featured on one of my shows, the J. Will Gospel Show or the Unsigned Artist Gospel Show, you may do so. Shoot me an email, LeeWill@gmail.com. LeeWill@gmail.com. All right. Until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord God give you peace. Oh, wait a minute. Don't wait till you get sick to go to the doctor. Get yourself checked out. A1C, cholesterol, blood pressure, and all that good stuff. And get some life insurance. If you don't know some people, I know some people. Don't leave your family strapped in case something happens to you. All right. May the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord God give you peace. Don't hang up.